This section is the tie together for all of those things. With all these things that I've been talking to you about in mind, it comes down to this. Just love each other.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. The passage that we read this morning about Jesus' new commandment to us is a follow-up on what has been going on in this section of Scripture, and he is doing the tie together for several previous thoughts. A few sermons back, we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit and how Jesus said, "When I go, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will be with you and he will be the key for you during the time of my absence until I return." And that's a vital message for the health of the church. And then he spoke about that yoke that he wants us to wear and how that yoke is fitted to us and what it means for a yoke to be easy and a burden to be light. And that also is a vital message for the church. And then he spoke about the vine and the branches and how our life relies on being connected to the vine, how the juices that give us life and energy flow through him to us, and what it takes for us to bear fruit and the pruning that we have to endure. And that also is a vital message for the church. And this section is the tie together for all of those things. With all these things that I've been talking to you about in mind, it comes down to this. Just love each other. Just try this. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, the way that, just like your father, you tie your shoes like this. I'll do it, you do it like I did it. Just like your mother, you mix up a cake batter like this. I did it like this. Now you do it. Love each other the way that I love you. Here's how it's done. I will love you enough that I will give my life for you. And that is where he's headed at this point in the gospel narrative. Just love one another as I love you. You know that whole Holy Spirit thing I've been talking about? As we go past the Gospels and into the epistles, we discover that the chief gift that the Holy Spirit imparts is a Christ-like love. And the chief fruit that the Holy Spirit causes to grow in us is the same Christ-like love. And without the chief fruit of the Spirit, love, the others don't grow so well. And without the chief gift of the Spirit, love, the others don't function so well. About that whole Holy Spirit thing, love one another. That's going to be the key. And about that yoke thing, where are you going to get the strength to do the job, the work, the toil, the task that I have in mind for you? Let me tell you where that strength will come from. It will come from love When you love one another, every burden seems light. And every task becomes possible. If you want to know the secret to that whole yoke thing, that's love too. And when I talk to you about the vine and the branches, what is that sap that flows through the vine and energizes the branches? It is love. You want to bear fruit, he says, going back to that in this passage. You want to bear fruit and you want your fruit to remain? Here's the secret. Love one another. And I think to myself, it can't be that simple. And then the Spirit of God says to me, but it is. Do you know the chief difference as developed in this passage that we read? The chief difference between being slaves under the law and free people under Christ. You see, under the law, you had to have all these things laid out for you. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do those. But do these things. I give you commandments specifically that you must obey on threat of punishment or promise of reward. Because that's how slavery works. But when you love one another, as I have loved you, you won't need the law. It's so simple. We've talked about it 1,000 times. Most of you are sitting next to someone you love. And you don't need me to tell you not to reach over and elbow them in the ear real hard. You don't need me to tell you that. Andrew makes a face. He's sitting all by himself, fortunately. So, you don't need me to tell you that because you wouldn't do that to someone you love. You don't need the restrictions. You don't need the commandments. When your heart is filled with love, you are set free to do the calling of your heart. And this is the key difference between slavery under the law and free people under Jesus Christ. Do you know what the chief difference is between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of earth? It is love. The chief difference between the ethics of God and the ethics of a fallen creation, also love. Yes, it is just that simple. Love one another. Now, I've been working on the idea for this message all week, but last night about 4 o'clock, 4:30, I suddenly had an extra thought. And I'll tell you what my thought was in a moment, but normally, when I have thoughts that involve me doing much and I have them laid on Saturday evening for Sunday, I just set them aside. And this was one of those instances where this thought springs into my head and suddenly an action plan follows the thought. And I say to myself, Terry, this is a bad idea. It's too late. So I'm doing it. And since I don't want to go down in flames alone, I called on a couple of partners in crime. I'll get them up here. The thought that I had was, so Chet Lowen was right back in 1963, to which everyone says, what? See, Chet Lowen was a songwriter. And in that year, he wrote a song. And it turned out that everybody wanted to sing his song. The Kingston Trio sang his song. Jefferson Airplane sang his song. I have this thing about popular culture, and it is that God invades it. And sometimes in the midst, anybody have a stapler? some super glue, a piece of duct tape. Sometimes in the midst of the most godless portions of popular culture, God invades. And he did. And everybody recorded this song. The version that you'll remember, if you remember it, and if you are my age, you probably will, was done in 1967 by the Youngbloods. We are not the Youngbloods. First, we have to have... We're not young. I think we all still have blood. But we would need some bell-bottom trousers and puff sleeves and long hair. Hair. Nevertheless, if you didn't pay any attention to the words of this song in 1967, pay attention to them now. And it'd help if I start in the right place, probably. Love is but a song we sing, and fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring, or make the angels cry. Now the bird is on the wing, and you may not know why. Sing along. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try and love one another right now. I'll give you another chance. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try and love one another right now. Now, if you didn't listen to the second verse then, be sure and listen to it now. Some will come and some will go, and we will surely pass. Till the one who left us here returns for us at last. We are but a moment's sunshine, fading in the grass. People now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try and love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try and love one another right now. Try and love one another right now. I should add that is, today is the very first time the three of us have ever sang that song. So, that's what happens when you have great ideas at 4:30 on Saturday evening. But Chet Lowen had it right all along. Love each other. But I hear you object, as I have objected myself on various occasions. People are so hard to love. I know. I know. Because I am hard to love. I get it. But let me tell you all the chief joys of my life. Here they are. My parents loved me. No matter how much trouble I was to them, no matter how many times I disappointed them, my parents loved me. My good wife, despite all the trials that I have drug her through, continues to love me. This congregation, I am persuaded, despite my shortcomings, failures, all the things I've tried that haven't worked, continues to love me. And most of all, God loves me. And I've given him lots of reasons not to. But it says in this passage, he chose me. He chose me to love me. He won't force me to choose him back. I can walk away. But it will hurt him if I do. Because he loves me. And if I choose him in return, I may enter into his love forever. These are the chief joys of my life. I hope they're the chief joys of your life. Amen. Should we not desire that other people should experience these same joys? I think that we should. But I return to it. People are hard to love. And you may respond, yes, I know, Terry, you have idiosyncrasies. You're a little hard to get along with at times. Maybe you're a little emotionally distant. Maybe you're a little hard-headed. You know, you got something. But there are other people, Terry, who are much harder to love than you are, like Russ. And I don't know why Russ just puts up with all the picking on. Let me say this, Russ. I love you, brother. But it is hard sometimes. I read a thing not long ago. I want you to know as I start this that I'm not picking on anybody, and you'll realize it before I get done, but just no starting on this. I read a thing not long ago on a online thing about churches. It's a, what about churches? Have you ever thought about going back to church? You might get back in church. And somebody posted, oh no, it's really hard to worship with the Trump supporters. And I remembered, just a few years back, somebody saying to me, it's really hard to worship with the Obama supporters. And I thought to myself, I don't have any trouble either way. I will worship with either or both. And let me tell you, I can sum up my politics real quick because it's in just a couple of key thoughts. If we're going to reduce it to two parties, let me tell you my thoughts on our two parties. A pox on both their houses. They stink. The governments of this world always become the beast. In the end, it is no surprise to anyone who has read the Bible. There's Proposition 1. That sounds like a political thing, doesn't it? Proposition 1. Proposition 2, I pray that God will bless each and every leader of any party, because despite their foibles and faults and foolishness, which are abundant, God uses them to advance his kingdom. Often despite themselves, God uses them to advance his kingdom. There's my politics. And in the meantime, I will try to love everyone. Now let me launch into another thing here. We have covered many times the four different kinds of love that are in the Bible, and I'm going to skip over the first two, Eros, the romantic love, and Storge, that instinctive family love, and go straight to the last two, which are Phileo and Agape. As it turns out, both words are used very close to one another here in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, one in the passage that we read and one just two verses beyond. If you go down to verse 19, just two verses past where I stopped, it says, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." And the word for love in this verse is phileo, which is the love that you have for people with whom you share common values, assumptions, and preferences. It's that birds of a feather flocking together. I love you because you are like me, because we are like each other. We get along. And it said, if only you were just like the world would love you. Phileo, love. They would love you because you're like them. Your problem with the world is going to be that I have called you to be different. And so they're going to hate you because you're not like them. Now the other word is used several times in the passage between 12 and 17, and it's right there in verse 17, just two verses before the phileo word in 19. 17, "This I command you, that you love one another." Only the word is agape, not phileo. And agape means an unconquerable good will, that you will always do what is in the good interest of the person that you love. You will always strive to bring good and not harm to them. You will strive to help them move forward and not shove them backward. It is this unconquerable goodwill that Jesus says that we are to have for one another. And there's a reason that he chose agape and not phileo. If we all had exactly the same political leanings, if we all had exactly the same social program, if we all just liked Chinese food, whatever, if we just had all, if only everybody hated onions as I hate onions with a pure and perfect hatred, if we were all just alike, we wouldn't need to be told to love each other phileo. And it's okay. It's okay to like people who are like you. It's just not okay for that to be the only thing happening. You need to love them even when they are vastly different, even when they are terribly inconvenient, even when they stand for things that you completely disagree with. And I will tell you how I know that agape is like that, because it's explained in another little thing that this same man, the Apostle John, wrote when he said, "Herein is love, agape, while we were yet sinners, God loved us." When he had every reason not to, when we were busy tearing down and perverting everything he made for our blessing, when we were totally opposed to his entire set of values. And we were flinging it right back in his face. When we were enslaved to sin, he loved us enough so that he sent his son to bear the penalty of those sins and to set in motion a progression of events by which we might be transformed and made into something else. Now I'm going to find my way back from agape to phileo. One day, we will all be very much more alike than we are now. And even at that, I don't mean that we will be identical. In the world to come, I believe that we will still be recognizable individuals with different passions and different gifts and different arenas of service, but I believe we will all serve in the world to come. Those differences continue because God loves individuals. But there's going to be another thing going on. I believe this to be one of the most beautiful key promises of Scripture. I will be like him. I will be like Christ. You will be like Christ. And in that, we will suddenly be much more like one another. And phileo will take care of itself, but it has to start with agape if we are ever to get there. And if we want people to know that such a thing exists and that it is the key characteristic of God, that he bears an unconquerable goodwill for them, you know how we introduce them to it? By loving them ourselves with his godly love, despite our differences, despite offenses against one another, despite everything. Here is his commandment to us, love one another, even as I have loved you. And we will never be like him until we begin to love as he loved.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.